Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story. Talk Story, or Valaau in Hawaiian, loosely translated, means conversing and communicating. In our KKCR studio today, we're delighted to welcome Asia Gampel, musician, singer, songwriter, and storyteller. Asia was born and raised on the island of Oahu in Aiea. Her interest in Hawaiian music and kihoʻalu started early in life. She graduated from St. Francis High School in Manoa, and she's pursuing her education at the University of Hawaii in Hawaiian Studies. Harry Bisori of Territorial Airways Radio says, Asia is the new face of Hawaiian music and of Hawaiian slack key guitar. Hawaii, her debut album, released in 2016, and in 2017, she was nominated for 2 Nahoku Hanohanum Awards, one for EP Album of the Year, and one for Most Promising Artist of the Year. Let's sit back and talk story. Aloha mai kakou. I'm Linda Lester K. Ali, and I'm here today in our KKCR studio with Asia Gampel to talk story. Asia, you're a songwriter, singer, composer of Hawaiian music through kihoʻalu. Explain kihoʻalu and when you first became interested in kihoʻalu.
Aloha, Auntie Linda, KKCR, everybody. Mahalo for having me. I got started with kihoʻalu. I learned from my grandpa. His name is Charlie Oyama, and he learned how to play kihoʻalu from his uncles back in the day. And kihoʻalu actually started a long, long time ago when Kamehameha the Great was granted a group of cattle from, I think it was the King of Spain. And as a gift, he placed a kapu on the cattle, making them sacred so they were unable to be touched. And so cattle do as cattle do. And soon they were running rampant, and we needed some help to try and wrangle them all together, keep them together. So we sent for the vaqueros, the cowboys, to come from Mexico to come and teach the Hawaiians how to be cowboys. We call that paniolo, Hawaiian cowboys. And so when the vaqueros came over, they also brought with them their guitars. And so after they would ranch and herd cattle all day, at night they would break out their guitars and sing music and play songs, and that's kind of where the whole culture came in. And then as time went by, soon the vaqueros were to leave to go back home, and they left behind their guitars as kind of gifts for the Hawaiians. And so they left the guitars behind, and story goes that they didn't teach us how to tune it. And so Hawaiians came up with their own tunings to accompany their voice, to accompany the leo, and thus kihoʻalu, or a loosening, slacking of the key, was born. Or wow. So I've been told.
So tell us about the musicians in your family.
So it's pretty much just my grandpa and I'm my grandpa on my mom's side, so my mom's dad. Mm-hmm. He's been playing music. He's born and raised on Oahu in Kalihi, Kapalama area. Yeah, he played music for a long time. He's part of the USO. He toured the mainland. He was part of a folk group called the Travelers Three back in the 60s. He came back to Hawaii for a few years in the mid to late 70s, kind of when that first Hawaiian Renaissance was happening. He had a group called Nā Kamahele. They recorded a few CDs, and that's kind of when he stepped back into Hawaiian music. And probably from around 75, 77 and onward, he did Hawaiian music only. And then throughout our family, my mom has 3 other siblings. None of them picked up any sort of want to pursue music or Hawaiian anything at all. So I am the second to the last of 9 grandchildren. Yeah, I came along, and I just remember Grandpa would come over to the house every so often. At the time, he was living in California, and he'd fly home to, you know, just be with us for a little bit, and he would come and he'd sit in the living room and just play guitar. And I remember I was about 4, 5, maybe 6 years old. I would sit in front of him and just watch him. He'd sit on the chair in the living room, and I'd sit on the floor and just look up at him and just hear this most beautiful music, and I just all the time I would ask him, "Grandpa, teach me how to play." And you know, I was too young at the time in his eyes, and kind of just kept brushing me off, like, you know, "Nah, you're not ready," or "Nah, you're not real serious." And so my mom started me on ukulele. They took me to Roy Sukumo Ukulele Studios, and that's where I first started playing music. 5 years old, taking ukulele lessons, and still Grandpa would come back every year, and every year I'd be playing ukulele. And then when I was 10 years old, I got my first guitar. I tricked my dad into buying me a guitar, my first little mini Takamine. Uh-huh. You know, and still every year I'd ask Grandpa, teach me how to play. And he was like, "No, go away. You bother me." That's what he would say. And, you know, so I kind of persisted. I was a pest. I just kept pestering him. Uh-huh. And eventually when I was 12 years old, I'd been playing guitar for about 2 years. I was playing standard style. And then one summer, Grandpa came over, and I sat in front of him, and I said, "Grandpa, please teach me how to play." And he said, "Okay." So he grabbed my guitar, and he tuned it for me. And I was like, "Oh, okay, this is different. It's nothing that I had ever learned before, but I was ready." And the first lesson that he taught me was this. This is the heartbeat of slack key, is what Grandpa calls it. It's this alternating or revolving bass. And that's kind of what slack key revolves around, is keeping the bass going while playing the melody and the rhythm lines as you sing. And so that was my first ever lesson. And anybody that I, you know, asks me to teach them slack key that, you know, has never played before, that I do the same thing that Grandpa taught me. I teach them that. Because if you don't have that, you know, that's the heartbeat. It doesn't start from anywhere except there. And then right before he left on that same trip, he taught me this vamp. It goes like this. And I was hooked. Once I learned that vamp, that was it. And I just, ever since then, I was 12 years old then, and I've been playing ever since, and it just kind of turned into a passion for me. And I didn't know that I wanted to pursue Hawaiian music, but after a while, I knew that it was special, and it was something that I felt I wanted to continue and wanted to share. Now I'm here with you, and I have that opportunity. So again, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. What started you to composing songs? What were you doing when you first composed your first song?
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. I just wanted to tell stories, really. My first song that I ever wrote is actually on the first EP on Hawaii. It's called Pua Mai Kalani. And, you know, growing up listening to Hawaiian music, there was not too many people writing at the time. And, you know, and it has a lot to do with the history of the language. And there was a few people that were writing, you know, inspirations to me, you know, such as Kelly Iroi Shaw. I grew up kind of listening to some of his music and, you know, of course, Hapa and their arrangements and things like that. And I, you know, I was like, well, I have a story to tell too. And so why not try? And Grandpa used to speak olelo to me growing up. So I had an idea and I could speak a little. And the more I got into school and pursuing higher education, I wanted to also pick up Hawaiian so that it would help me in telling my story, being able to, you know, increase my vocabulary and just share an idea more clearly. And so the first song I wrote was Pua Mai Kalani, and it really was about hula. Because to me, hula is my biggest inspiration, because I think that hula encompasses the entirety of the Hawaiian culture. It encompasses not only our language, because without our language, hula doesn't exist. So it encompasses the language, it encompasses the ways of life, the stories that we have to tell, you know, about the past. And, you know, it encompasses the nature of things, the nature itself. And it was just so beautiful and inspirational to me. And so what Pua Mai Kalani is about is what I think that dancers strive to be or portray when they're sharing a story, when they're sharing a mo'olelo. And so 2015, I wrote the song Pua Mai Kalani, and 2016, the album came out, and Hawaii came out with Pua Mai Kalani on it. And
would you like to play it for us?
Sure, absolutely.
e pua mai kalani he molele o e ha o he kaulike e wa mai e pua mai kalani I kahana no he au la me ke kaungu Mahulo E pua mai kalani I kahana no he ahuhula me ke kaunu I mahulo E pua mai kalani Hena he ko maka maheli ka mana o He pua mai kalani Mali e ko lima e hena he no maka maheli ka mana o Puana kau I Pua mai kalani hi hai na mai ka puana ka wahine hula Puana kau inoha Pua mai kalani hi hai na mai ka puana ka wahine
I just love how you play. It's just so beautiful.
Thank you. I play exactly like my grandpa plays, or at least I think so.
Well, he planted that seed in you, and he watched it start to blossom and grow, and he nurtured that seed in you and instilled that in you. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you. Tell us, how did you come up with the name Hawaii, and what does it mean? That's the name of your debut album. And
yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. So Hawaii means to break forth, to unveil, to reveal. And so as my kind of, I guess you could say, debut onto the Hawaiian music scene, or, you know, first steps coming out, I wanted the idea that I was going for is, you know, my unveiling of who I am and what I want to share with everybody. And so Hawaii, the word itself, just kind of fit in with the whole idea of the album. And that EP itself is really just, it's a mix of things. You know, there's contemporary Hawaiian music, there's originals that I've written, there's instrumentals that my grandpa has taught me, you know. So I just, it was an idea that I had that encompasses all of the things that I am and that I want to share and that I wanted to give as my, I guess you could say, my breaking onto the scene. Yeah.
And what a great vote of confidence you received from the Hawaiian music community in making it all the way to the final ballot at the Nohoku Hanohana Awards. And, you know, that's a really, for a debut album to get that kind of attention, that's really awesome.
Yeah. I don't even know how that happened, actually. I just, you know, someone told me, oh, you should sign up for HARA, you know, which HARA is awesome at helping musicians get out there and get recognition and, you know, things like that. So I didn't ever dream, you know, I had hopes that Hawaii would do well, but I didn't think that, you know, it would get nominated and then make it to the final ballot. And it kind of was a nice, I guess, validation of, you know, that I'm doing things right and people, you know, kind of like what they hear. And
I was so pleased that you received those nominations.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, that's a really wonderful, wonderful beginning. I was wondering if you could share some other thoughts about Hawaii and maybe play us another song.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Hawaii, I wanted to play an instrumental. It's actually how I start off that project. My grandpa taught me this song. It's a song written back in the, I want to say the 30s, by a man by the name of Sunny Kunha. And this song is called Hula Blues. And it was just so much fun to play. I remember when my grandpa was teaching me the song, and I was getting a little bit older. I think when he taught me this song, I was maybe 18 at the time. And, you know, I was kind of picking up a little bit faster. And my grandpa was playing, and he goes, you know, it took me 50 years to learn this song, and you learn it in 2 weeks. And I was like, that's because I have a good teacher, Grandpa. And he laughed, and he goes, yeah, yeah, enough with that rock and roll stuff. But that's kind of the feel that it has, you know, it's a real upbeat, happy song. And, you know, it just shows a lot of my grandpa's arrangements and styling of slack key and that kind of era. And so, yeah, I think I'll just play a little bit for you guys so you can hear.
Awesome.
Good fun.
That's a great song.
Definitely good fun. And playing it with grandpa is just even more fun.
So your grandpa lives with you now?
Yeah.
So you get to jam together, Connie Kapila, in your house?
A little bit. He's getting, you know, a little bit up there in age and to the point where he kind of just wants to sit back and listen, and he just nods his head, and, you know, it's kind of enough for me because it makes him happy, you know, because some of the things he cannot play anymore, but because he was able to teach them to me, he can still hear them. And so it, you know, it makes me so happy when people tell me that, people that know my grandfather tell me, you sound just like grandpa, you know. It's like, good, that's, you know, that's what I want. And that's kind of the old style, the old feel of kiho. Kiho alu is, as much as it is literally translated as slack key, kiho alu is more so a feeling. And so if I can correctly portray that feeling when I'm playing music, playing a song, you know, if I'm playing a song about the ocean and in your mind you can see that, or you, it takes you there, then I'm doing my job. And so all of that, if I can play just like my grandpa, then I'm a happy person.
What other mentors or people have you worked with in music, or that you admired, you feel has like helped you in music?
So of course my foundation is my grandpa. So he will always be my number one idol, or I guess you could say. But some inspirations to me are probably the same inspirations for him, you know. More classical Hawaiian music, such as Antilina Machado or John Keoloha Alameda. More contemporary music, definitely Keali'i Raichel, Sister Robi Kahakalau, Hapa, you know, for their arrangements of songs, and, you know, Waipuna. There's just so much music out there now, and there's so much creativity that I think all of it really comes down and trickles down into what I do. And, you know, you borrow a little bit from each person, what you like, and, you know, kind of come up with your own style.
Do you compose the melodies and the lyrics at the same time? Do they come separate? How does music happen?
I have no idea. For me, it starts probably around 1 o'clock in the morning. That's usually the time that I guess I'm most creative, is around 1 a.m. to around 3 o'clock in the morning. That's usually when I do the most of my writing. Not because I want to, because I love to sleep. But, you know, sometimes when the creative process happens, you can't really control when that is. And you kind of just got to hope you have a pen and paper at the same time. And I guess it really depends. Some songs, most of my songs, actually, the words come first. A few of them, the words and the melody happen simultaneously. But most times I'm just writing down ideas or, you know, a thought that keeps occurring in my mind. And then I kind of build the story on top of that. And then from there, as I read it, you know, I read it over. And sometimes the cadence of the words kind of creates its own melody for me. And then you just kind of roll with it, you know, just like, okay, that sounds pretty interesting. Let's see where this goes, you know. And sometimes, you know, like I have a few songs where it started off as one idea and then I hadn't touched it for a while. And then I come back and it's a totally different feel and thought, and I'm like, okay, then that's the direction we're going with it now, you know. And that's, I think that's one of the great things about music, is because it just, it changes, it evolves, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So it's in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's fresh and alive.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to tell us about Pilina and the meaning, and then would you like to play us Goodnight Hoku?
Yeah, absolutely. So Pilina is my second album, or first full-length album.
Mm-hmm.
And what Pilina means is connection. And so what I did was I had a whole bunch of songs that didn't really relate to one another, but they all related to me. And it related, all those songs had connections to different things in my environment. And so I was trying to figure out a way to connect them all. And the way that to connect them all was the connection itself, was Pilina. And so Pilina, you can break it down into two words, Pili, which is feeling, and Na, which is a kind of like a multitude. So together, Pilina is the connections or feelings multiplied. So within this album, each song talks about a different type of Pilina, be it between people, be it with nature, both things tangible and intangible, and just across the Pacific. And that's the idea that I wanted to portray behind the album. When I got to incorporate a Hapa Haole song, my first one I ever wrote, I was more than thrilled that I had an opportunity to share that idea. And so that's Pilina.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this song is not necessarily a traditional slack key song. Actually, it's not a traditional Hawaiian song by any means. And I don't play this song in slack key. So that was kind of a departure from what, I guess, personification that I was trying to portray of myself as a slack key artist. You know, because I've been influenced by so much other styles of music. So why not?
Right.
And then I came up with this song, Goodnight Hoku. And just a little bit about the song before I start playing. It's just, Goodnight Hoku is a song, it's a play on words. It starts off, goodnight, hoku, goodnight, I know you can't stay. And so I wait all day for night just to see your face and know you're far away. Ke alohine, which means kind of like shining or glittering. Nani lua ole, like no other. E kaua hoku, so stay here, hoku. Ahele makamaehe. It's kind of like a never fading thought. I use the le as a thought, you know? And so I love to watch you dance across the sky, you know, stars moving in the nighttime. Hoku, you are a diamond in the night. Moi moia e pili mai kaua, I wish to stay here with you. Kaua ma'ane'i, just you and I here. Aloha no hoku, good night. And
so, oh, that's beautiful, Aisha.
Yeah. So the song goes like this.
Good night, hoku, good night, I know you. Stay, so I wait all day beautiful night just to see your face. Know you're far away. Ke alohine nanilua ole ikaua hoku ahelei makama. Watch you dance across the sky. Hoku for a time in the night. Moe moe e pili mai kaua kaua maha nei aloha. Hoku farm sunset twinkles in your eyes. I knew you'd be back some morning sunrise. Oh, here a lehoe kulei hiva hiva hoku ike au moe. And I love to watch you dance sky. Hoku for a time in the night. Moe moe e pini mai kaua kaua maha nei aloha. La good night, oh good night. See you when the sun goes down. Know you're far away. Ke alohine nanilua ole ikaua hoku ahelei makama. And I love to watch you dance cry the sky. Hoku for a time in the night. Moe moe e pili mai kaua kaua maha nei aloha. Hoku, when I love to watch you dance across the sky. For a time in the night. Moe moe e pili mai kaua kaua maha nei aloha. Hoku good night. Hoku good night. Hoku good night. Hoku.
That's beautiful, Asia. Thank you. Oh, I love that line. I love to see you dance across the sky. That's such a magical way of expressing.
Yeah. It's nice because with Hawaiian music, Hawaiian language itself, it's so poetic. You're able to paint a picture so vividly. Yeah. Just makes it so much fun to write, to play, to sing.
You've been listening to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story with Asia Gamble. I'm Linda Lester K. Ali. Stay tuned for the second half of this intimate time with one of Hawaii's rising young musicians. I wanted to also bring out the fact that you're a Tahitian drummer.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that connection with your Tahitian music as well. And tell us about that. How did you become interested in Tahitian drumming? And you have a great song on Pilina.
Yeah. So there's a song on Pilina. It's called Nauwe Tahiti. I was actually inspired by a group of Tahitian dancers, actually in Orange County, California, is where I met them. They're called Atu'umai I Tehere. And so before I started drumming, I got exposed to this group from a friend of mine. I just fell in love with the ladies. They're just so nice and so welcoming. And I was like, wow, you know, it's kind of my first experience outside of, you know, say like a luau or something like that. And just seeing these ladies dance and work and have fun, I was really inspired. And so I kind of, you know, took some notes down, some ideas that I wanted to say. And then when I came home, I just kind of had ideas written down. I didn't really have a melody or anything like that. So that's one song I can say where the words came first before the melody. And then I kind of got involved with this group on Oahu called Te Wai Ura Nui. And I started drumming with them. I'm a musician, not a dancer, and that's a good thing. So I started drumming with them, and the more that I got exposed to the Tahitian culture, the way that they play music, I was able to come up with more creative ideas and ways to incorporate that style into this song. And so what's so awesome about Nauwe Tahiti is that the song is a song, it's written in Olalo Hawaii, and what it does is it celebrates the life and fun of Ori Tahiti, or Tahitian dance. So that's really what I wanted the song to do, was to just get people in line with the whole idea of Pilina. Is this whole idea of connection, is that more and more people are not just bound to one style of anything, be it dance or music. And so with Nauwe Tahiti, that cross between the cultures, because we are so connected, you know, there is that pilina between Hawaii and Tahiti, that it just made sense. And then the whole song started to flow and it came together, and I, you know, it kind of took on its own thing. I kind of just let it go the way that it wanted to. And, you know, I had access to my friends who are drummers, and they jumped on the song to help me out. And that was Boy Te Manaha. Just flowed and it fit right in with Pilina, you know, that whole connection thing. And
I remember seeing you at the Tahiti Fete here on Kauai. Mm. I saw you up on the stage drumming, and I went, wow, this lady is so multi-talented. She can just do so many wonderful, wonderful things with music. So yeah. I was really happy to see that song on Pilina. Mm-hmm. Talking about connection, can you tell us about Pono Wao Ke Kuleana a e ho'omau ka olalo Hawaii no kamea he Hawaii ao? What this means to you?
Yeah, so pono ao ke kuleana e ho'omau ka olalo Hawaii no kamea he Hawaii ao. What that is I have the responsibility to continue the language because I am Hawaiian. So the last part, he Hawaii ao, mau a mau, is like, I am Hawaiian forever. Mau a mau. It's just on and on. And so if you're familiar with the Hawaiian culture, and Hawaiian language was not allowed to be spoken. And so, you know, nowadays, you know, times have changed and people are speaking Hawaiian more and more. And as a writer, as a composer, you know, someone who just wants to tell stories, the fact that I'm able to do this in Hawaiian, it's, you know, it's not only a privilege, it's a kuleana, it's a responsibility. And it's something that I'm happy to do. And because I'm Hawaiian, I should do it. So that's where that whole line comes in.
When you have that kind of love and passion, that kind of kuleana, it brings delight to your heart. Mm-hmm. I really see that in you. And so I wanted to say thank you for that. Hmm. I'd like you to share another story. Yeah. And song from Pilina.
Sure. So I think I'll play for you guys the title song of this album, the song Pilina itself. So I wrote this song because I figured, now this is not a song that I traditionally write. This song came about with the idea that I need another song for this album that connects the whole album itself. And so I already had named the album Pilina, but I didn't have anything that really solidified it. And so I came up with the song the title song of the album, Pilina. When I was writing, it was right around the time that Hokule'a was coming in on her last leg of the worldwide journey. She was just coming home. And so a lot of things came into play, you know, with that being in my mind and on the news and, you know, just how this whole album was about connection. And so I was also doing kind of a lot of restoration work back at home, volunteering, you know, cleaning heiau or, you know, community work days at the lo'i or fish ponds and things like that. And so it opened my eyes to really the connections that not only people share, but also that we share with the land. As Kanaka Maoli is, you know, people of the land here in Hawaii, the land is what's important. There's a olelo no eau in the song that I kind of played off of. It says, he ali'i ka aina he kauva ka ko, which is the land is king and we are its servants. Yeah. So the olelo no eau is he ali'i ka aina he kauva ke kanaka. Man is the servant. But I kind of, you know, pilina, I wanted to incorporate everybody because now it's not just Hawaiians. You know, people come from all over the world to, you know, to see and to work in the lo'i and things like that. And so it's really everybody's responsibility, not just us. And so in the song Pilina as well, there's a breakdown where I say, you know, I start naming places, my Tahiti, my Rapa Nui, my Fiji, my Aotearoa, my Kaike, my Pilina Kamoana me ke aloha, which is basically I'm saying from all of these places, the ocean is what connects us with love, you know? And that was kind of like my tip of my hat, if you will, to Hokule'a for, you know, creating that physical connection or, you know, establishing that physical connection to all of these places for us and for the whole world even. And yeah, it goes on from there to just talk about the different types of pilina and how I feel, where my role is, I guess you could say, in this time. I'll go ahead and play pilina for
yes,
you guys.
Yes, please.
Pilina, a kauha uha ma vale au, kanunei e iau ano hona, na kupuna. Uka pilina, a kauha uha ma vale au. Pilina, pili kamana, no kia wahi panna, ahe aloha, he hua kai loloa, uka waka hiko. Mauka pilina, pili kamana, no kia wahi panna, ahe aloha, he hua kai loloa, uka waka hiko. Mai Tahiti, mai Rapa Nui, mai Fiji, mai Aotearoa, mai Kaike, mai Pilina ka Moana, me ke aloha. E pini ke kanaka, I ke kanaka, e pilina mauhane, I ka mua, he alihi ka aina, he kauwa ka. Puana, Ilipai, Nam, Meha, Ahapahu, Ponaka, Koke, Kuleana, Emalama, Ahaina, Maika Puana, Ilipai, Nam, Meha, Ahapahu, Ponaka, Koke, Kuleana, Emalama. Hey,
I love it. I love this song. Such a great song.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's your dream with your music? What's your long-term goals, and where do you want your star to go?
Yeah. Oh, I would like to go wherever it can take me. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to, through music, you know, travel a little bit to the West Coast, recently to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I've been able to go to Japan and meet people who are fans of Hawaiian music, and slap key in particular. So, you know, music has just been a great vehicle to me. And knowing that I can reach people through music, you know, it brings back that sense of kuleana that I have, or that I feel, where I want to perpetuate the Hawaiian language. And so there's Hawaiians everywhere in the world. That's something that I learned. And that's one of the really the coolest things to me, is that they still feel that connection, even though they're not physically on the aina. And a lot of them don't have the resources to access Olol Hawaii, or Hawaiian language, or to be able to learn that. And, you know, sure, you can learn it online with all of the technology that we have today, but there's nothing like being able to sit with someone and speak to them and actually hear it and hear the flow of the conversation. And so I'm in school now for Hawaiian studies and to study olalo so that I can hopefully teach. And I want my music to be my vehicle to take me to these places so that I can share the language with people, especially Hawaiians that want to learn. And in that way, I, you know, kind of fulfill my kuleana to perpetuate the Hawaiian language. And, you know, anywhere else it wants to go, I would love to go. If it wants to take me to Mary Monarch, which would be so cool.
Yes.
That
yes.
would definitely be, you know, kind of a dream for me. But as long as I can reach people and make them happy or make them feel good, you know, then I'm happy with that too.
Yeah. I know that you're really, really busy studying and playing. And I'm wondering, what's your favorite place to go to relax? And what do you do to relax?
There's two things that I do. You know, as much as we live on an island, people think it's easy to get to the beach. It's not always easy. And I think that's because it's right there, you know. I haven't been to the beach in a while. But when I do go, I body surf. Actually, anything in the water. As long as I can get to the ocean, I'm pretty happy about that. But I love to surf, body surf, dive, anything in the ocean. But usually my once a week thing that I make sure that I make time for it to kind of keep my sanity, if you will.
Right.
Is I ride horses.
Oh.
Yeah. So I make sure every week mm-hmm. that I carve out an hour in my schedule to go and ride horses, just to kind of relax. And in a funny way, you know how I told you guys earlier about where slack key comes from? It kind of all connects in that way. When you're riding horses, you know, it's all about having a conversation between you and the horse. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not a one-way thing, and you can't really think about anything else, because if you're not concentrating on what you're doing and what the horse is telling you and what you're asking of the horse, then it's really easy for them to say, well, I don't really need you on my back right now. It's a symbiotic relationship. They're allowing you to be up there. And so, you know, it kind of reminds me to be in the moment, to focus, to be there. And that's kind of what the water does for me too. You know, you're in the moment, and you can just let everything else go.
Right. And so, it's very cleansing.
Yeah. And I feel like that's important for a lot of people. Nowadays, it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, the everyday routine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, if you ever feel like you're kind of in a funk or overwhelmed, you know, it's nice to sometimes just take time for yourself and go do something that either you've never done before, or mm-hmm. something that you're just passionate or just makes you happy. And that's, for me, that's either riding horses or going surfing, being at the beach.
Awesome. Yeah. I was wondering if you'd play us one more song from Pilina.
So this song I want to play for you guys, again, it's not a slack key song per se. I wrote it on the ukulele first. And I had this idea. I told my grandpa, I'm gonna write a Hawaiian doo-wop. And he looked at me, he said, "You're gonna do what?" And I said, "Doo-wop." And he laughs. "How are you gonna do that?" And I said, "Well, you'll see." Uh-huh. And then, you know, it goes back to, again, where the song starts to take on its own form, and it became more of like a bluesy feel. I mean, you can still hear, you know, little hints of doo-wop here and there, but it was a song about a dream that I, kind of a dream and kind of not. The song is called Mai Kahaula, and it's a totally different feel. The song itself is a play on words again, because Hawaiian, we have this thing called kauna, where it has multiple layers of meanings. And so Mai Kahaula, Kahaula is the goddess of dreams. And so Mai, depending on the context of the conversation that you're having, can either mean, you know, an invitation, you know, like when someone says, Ekomo Mai, come in, or they say Mai, like stop, don't. So in a sense, and you can choose whichever one you want it to mean to you in this song. So it can either mean like telling this dream, you know, to, you know, I don't want to have that dream again, or, you know, inviting this dream back. And so what this song really is about, and I love to tell this story, is it's about being infatuated with someone who has no idea that you exist. And so the first verse, it's really kind of straightforward. It starts off, Mai hila, hila, don't be shy. Ne'e, ne'e, mai, come closer. Oku uhoa, my friend, my companion. Kuhoa I ka pola ihe, my companion in the calmness of night. No e he pume hana, pua kukui e. That line is like, in a sense, you're a warmth, like of a light, yeah. Ne e ne mai kuhoa, mai kaha ula no e. And so from there it says, you know, so in that sense, Mai, I'm inviting you, yeah? And so this person, again, having no idea that I exist, you know, it passes over them, goes right over their head. So I think, all right, let's try a different approach. We'll tell this person in a more poetic way. And so we go, Pili Mai Kauha Me. Kili kili hune. Let us be as close as the kili kili hune rains is to Opaliloa. As close as the kili hune rains is to Paliloa. I would hold you as securely as a baby. Ho'onalo kaupua. For hidden beneath the clouds. Kikahelei makuma ke aloha no ku uhoa I ka polai e. Is this intense flowing love for my companion? And from there, they still don't get it. Goes right over their head. So we ask again. Auhe auhe. Where are you, my darling? Kanihana mai, calling to me. Kamano leo hone hone, as a sweet voice bird. Kahea mai mauhalia, aloha I ka ponei. Calling forth memories from the night before. Hoi mai kuipo kaliana au yaoe. So come back, I'm here waiting for you. And at this point, you'd think that they would have gotten the idea. No. And so the song goes like this, it changes. So huli aku ai mai kahula. So in that sense, I'm kind of saying, ah, I'm done, go away. And then I'm like, duh, we'll try one more time. And then goes to the last verse. Haina mai kapuana. And so the story is told. Kuhi po aloha loha. My intense love, that's the aloha twice, aloha loha, yeah. Nau e ike mai is the next words. So look at me. Mai e ike aku oe, and don't look away. And then it goes on to say, pau ole kalia. So unending is this desire to ho'onipo kaua, to be together again. E pi'i mai, ka pilina ka vili ho'olua. So again, just kind of saying that, you know, I want to be with you again. And that's the idea behind the song.
That's a beautiful song. That's actually my favorite song on the album.
Oh, is it?
It is. I'm so glad you're going to play that
one. Oh, okay. Well, now you know what the song is about. So yeah, let's give it a shot.
Hey.
Mahalo, Asia.
Mahalo for having me.
I'm wondering, so how can people find out where to see you? Or if you're going on tour, how can your website is?
Yes, so you can find me. If you like websites, I have a website up. It's Asia, A-J-A, Kihoalu, K-I-H-O-A-L-U.com. If you want, you can find me on Facebook. Just type in Asia Gample, G-A-M-P-L-E. Or you can find me on Instagram at Asia_Kihoalu. And yeah, I mostly update Instagram more often than not. So that's definitely a good place to check. Facebook as well for any tour dates and shows coming up.
And there's some videos of you on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Oh, speaking of videos, off of Pilina, I did one cover song, not one, I think, but this is one of the cover songs that I did. And it's a kind of a traditional song. It's called Teve Teve. And I redid the song in a completely untraditional, unconventional way. And I just put out a music video for it. It's a really awesome production. I had some of my friends from, my friend and director, Justin from Olona Media. He helped me put this whole thing together. I had dancers from a few halau back on Oahu. We had a storyline, and it's just a really, really just a cool story. And it was nice to be able to tell a story from a different medium. You know, I was able to do it through the music the way that I wanted to, but to give people a visual representation of a story. And it's not just me playing the song on guitar. There's, you mm-hmm. know, there's people dancing and they're doing hula to the song. So they're telling the story through hula. But then we also have a background storyline running through it. And I don't want to give it away. So definitely go and check it out on YouTube. Just Teve Teve official music video. So I hope you guys enjoy that one, because that was so much fun to make. I'll actually be working on one more music video at the end of this month.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, Asia, for being here with us today. And good luck at the Hokus this year.
Oh, mahalo.
And thank you so much for your music and your just bright light. It's just so much for your passion, your love for Hawaiian music and olelo.
Yeah, mahalo for having me, and mahalo to all the KKCR listeners out there for supporting the radio, because, you know, without you guys, you know, supporting Hawaiian music and, you know, things like that, programs like this, I wouldn't be here. So mahalo to all the listeners and to you guys for having me in studio. Appreciate it more than I can say. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha no.
KKCR would like to thank Asia Gample for sharing with us in this edition of Talk Story. Asia was interviewed by Linda Lester K. Ali, engineering, editing, and mastering by Dove Little. Talk Story was recorded in the studios of Kauai Community Radio. For more information about this program and Kauai Community Radio, you can visit www.kkcr.org or call 808-826-7774. Funding is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. A hui ho, until we meet again.